Hebrews 11:11 says, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age." And notice this important phrase, "because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even from one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." So we'll find that two women are mentioned as we go through here. One is Sarah, and one is Rahab. And certainly as we see the examples of faith of Abel or Enoch or Noah or Abraham, they are for all of us, men and women alike. So certainly as we look at Sarah's example in particular, certainly an encouragement for the women, but also for the men. I think we need to understand that as we look at her. And in many ways, a very remarkable example of faith. Now, you have to understand, Abraham, as we talked about him, received an appearance of the Lord. It tells us in Acts 7, the God of glory appeared to Abraham when he was still in Ur of the Chaldees and gave him that charge. "Get thee out of thy country, away from thy kindred and the land that I will show thee, and I will bless thee." You know the whole scenario there. And God had appeared to Abraham, so it was hard for Abraham to forsake his family, his friends, the place that he had grown up, his familiar surroundings. And Abraham headed out somewhere where he didn't know where he was going, but at least he had that appearance of God to motivate him and to reflect upon. Sarah had only Abraham to reflect on. And I'm sure it took much more faith to listen to Abraham at 65 years old, and that was Sarah's age. She was barren, and I'm sure at that point in her life, as she was probably despised by many of the women she lived among for not having children, would have been more comfortable just to have lived out her days in Ur of the Chaldees in a comfortable surrounding with friends and relatives. But Abraham uproots her and takes her with him, and she begins to follow Abraham in this pursuit of God, as it were, and along the way becomes associated and familiar with the God of Abraham to the point where she's included in this chapter, and it tells us by faith that she was strengthened and conceived and was delivered of this child, Isaac, and gives us an insight into her relationship with the Lord. She's an interesting woman, and she's the first woman in the Bible who is portrayed as giving hospitality to anyone. That is, when the Lord, and we'll look at that today sometime, the angels came there in chapter 18 to Abraham. She prepared a meal for them while eavesdropping on that conversation. She's the only woman in the Bible that we're told how old she was when she died. It tells us she was 127 years old when she died. So at 65, she was midlife. And evidently extremely beautiful, even on up into 90. At 65, she was still a fox and a knockout. And so much so that as they came into the promised land, one of the first things they met was a famine. Abraham then heads down to Egypt and says to Sarah, "By the way, if anybody asks, you're my sister, not my wife." And it was a half-truth. They had the same father, but different mothers, and that was not uncommon in that culture in that day. But Abraham knew the Egyptians frowned on adultery, so that if they found Sarah attractive, an Egyptian official or pharaoh, and because they didn't approve of adultery, they would simply kill Abraham, then she would be a single woman. And that's what they did. So Abraham said, "They'll take my life if they think you're beautiful, so tell them you're my sister." And she must have been thinking, "What a pickle. I mean, I follow this guy. You know, he sees God. God's talking to him. Here I am, wandering around in a desert, living in tents. Now we're going to Egypt, and I'm no longer his wife." So a remarkable woman for sure. She stuck with this guy. 1 Peter chapter 3 says she's an example to all women who believe, that she is the mother of all believing women. And in that, by the way, Isaiah 51 tells us that Abraham and Sarah are the mother and father of all those who believe in that sense. So she has a relationship to all of us. Remarkable that she submitted to her husband, and that's the example in 1 Peter 3, and by the way, I don't think that can happen unless there is first a submissive attitude towards God. Then everything else will fall into line. That is for all of us in every area of life. If we are not submitted to God, we will not submit to any standard that He has set on any other level. And if you're having a problem, you need to go back to the beginning, because the first thing is to be submitted and submissive to Almighty God and to His Word. And the rest then will fall into place afterwards. Coming back from Egypt, Hagar was with them, an Egyptian handmaid that was picked up along the way. The promise was made that Sarah would have a child, but in the interim of over 11 years between the time that promise was first heard and when she actually conceived, Sarah decided to help God out. Now, you probably can't relate it all to being God's little helpers when He doesn't seem to do something quickly enough. She said, "Abraham, take Hagar and lie with her, and then she'll bring forth a child upon my knees, and then I'll no longer have this reproach upon me." It says that Hagar conceived and brought forth Ishmael. And then it says that Sarah saw she was despised in the eyes of Hagar and said to Abraham, "You brought this upon me." He's having a hard time through this. And sent away Hagar and Ishmael into the desert. And of course, they returned. And it's through these processes that we begin to see her faith develop and mature. And I think as we look at all of these characters in Hebrews 11, we need to remember no one walked in perfect faith except Jesus Christ Himself. But certainly all of these people were in the pathway of growing in their faith. And I think we should also be. Sarah, like the rest of us, learned through struggling, through doubting, through problems, who God was, and her faith then was enhanced and grew along the way. But she had some amazing struggles to face. The first one was that she had been barren for 90 years. She was obviously, as she says, beyond the age of bearing. And she wrestled with unbelief. And she entered this arena of God's promises with these things stacked against her. It tells us in Genesis 18 that as the Lord came, Abraham had prepared for him and the two angels that were with him. And they came as men, a fatted calf, and kneaded some bread and made them a meal. And it says they did set that before them as they were under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto Abraham, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, she is in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. So you get the scene here. Here's Abraham with some visitors that have come, and he said to Sarah, "Okay, honey, we're having some friends over for dinner that just met some guys." When you live in the desert, it's exciting when three people come walking through. "Oh, stay with us, talk to us, you know, what's happening in the world, you know?" "We haven't heard anything." And I don't know if Sarah's saying, "I can't believe he invited them. The tent's dirty and needs to get cleaned, you know." I don't know what's going on. I don't know the whole backdrop here. You can read that in yourself. But as Abraham sits and partakes of the meal, Sarah is in the tent, and she must hear her name mentioned, and her ears perk up. She's trying not to eavesdrop, but it's hard in a tent. And she hears the voice of this one saying to Abraham, "Your wife shall conceive and bear a son at the time appointed." And she is now 90 years old. Verse 11 says, "Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age." They weren't just old, they were smitten with age too. "And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure of my Lord being old also?'" She said, "He's the other funny half of this problem here. It's not just me." And you can hear her in the tent. She's kind of eavesdropping, busying herself around. Sarah's going to, "I just can You know, it says she laughs within herself. And the Lord said unto Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I am old? Is anything, this is central, too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, notice, saying, she talks out loud now. They hear a voice come from the tent. I didn't laugh. The voice comes from the tent. I laugh not. Now she said it, it says, because she was afraid and said no, but the Lord said, thou didst laugh. So the scene is they're sitting or eating around a tree. They're talking. Sarah's name comes up in a conversation. The Lord's speaking. Sarah starts to listen. Your wife's going to have a baby. You must be kidding. I'm too old. He's older than I am. And then the voice outside says, Abraham, why did your wife laugh? And then she's like, he said, surely at this time next year she's going to have a kid. And she says that out through the tent, I didn't laugh, giving away the fact she's listening. and her heart being quickened that the one who's listening is listening to her heart and not to her voice. And the voice comes back through the tent, no, you did laugh. In fact, we're going to name this kid Laughter, so you'll be reminded of it for the rest of your life. Itzhak. She struggled along the way in her growth. First, taking an attempt in the flesh to make this thing come to pass. Maybe there's some barren area in your life. Maybe it's waiting for a husband or a wife. Maybe it's waiting for a job. Maybe it's waiting for your first cool million. I don't know. But maybe there's an area in your life you feel is extremely barren, and you feel like maybe the Lord's promised you something, and you're tired of waiting. You've been waiting for about 3 days now, and it hasn't happened. And how prone we are sometimes to set out in the flesh to rectify that problem. And then in our fleshly attempt, there's some Hagar bearing an Ishmael to us. And as Sarah saw that that brought her a reproach, she blame shifted. She blamed it on Abraham. And how I see people leave God's plan for their life and attempt in the flesh to bring something about that they think is necessary for their fulfillment. And all of a sudden they're left with that situation mocking them. And they try to do the same thing. She said, send the bondwoman and her son away, she said to Abraham. And Abraham put a skin of water over Hagar's shoulder and send them off into the desert. When they came to the place where they were almost dead, the angel of the Lord appeared to them at the well there and refreshed them and sent them back. And you'll find out in your life that if you attempt to help God and you do something carnal along the way, trying to make it happen, you find out sometimes that's embarrassing and you have that same attitude. Send them away. Send this all away somewhere. But know this, some angel may appear to them and send them back. They may be knocking on your tent door before you want to see them again. And God will often use that opportunity of that mistake to teach us and enrich us. You know, if you go out on a Saturday night and you get drunk and you get in a fist fight and break your arm, you may repent with all sincerity the next morning. I can't believe I did this. Oh, and the Lord will hear your repentance and forgive you. I doubt whether he'll heal your arm. You'll have a 6-week lesson in a cast of why that's a stupid thing to do, to live in rebellion against the Lord. There is a recompense. There is sowing and reaping. And under God's grace, he can shorten, and he certainly uses that. But she tried to send away some of her mistakes, and the Lord sent them back to her tent again. She got within a year of the birth of this child, and at that point was still laughing at the prospect of it. And I think, how often in my life have I been completely barren in an area or longing to see something happening for a long time, doesn't come to fruition, never materializes, and I find myself laughing. and it's in doubt. It's laughing because the thing seems like it'll never happen. And she found herself laughing then at God's promise within a year of when it was manifest in her life. It tells us then that she was strengthened by believing in the Lord as part of what took place in this process. And I want to say this. God touched her physical body. It tells us in Romans 4:19 that Abraham didn't consider his own body, though it was dead in regards to this thing, but trusted the Lord. And obviously Sarah, somewhere along the line after that meeting and the conversation through the tent flap, began to extend her faith and trust in God to a greater degree. There was a growing and a maturing in her faith. And in the proper time, she received strength in her physical body. And you can't take that away. Now, when I watched the part of the show this week with Peter Jennings and whatever in the name of God it was called, I don't know, I was grieved and I was brokenhearted as I saw some of the shenanigans again. And I said, and there were some good things, don't get me wrong, but as I just felt myself, this is God's glory and God's reputation at stake, and it isn't how I worship or how I believe, and it doesn't represent the faith that I enjoy or this time I enjoy studying God's word or walking with him. And I think that it needs to be appalled. It needs to be disdained. But on the other side of that coin, I think what also needs to be appalled and disdained is the attitude that God no longer works, that God doesn't do anything, that all those days are over. Because in my personal relationship with Christ, I've seen him work. He's risen, he's alive, and he still heals. And he still does do miracles. And I think there's an evil at both extremes. And Sarah received strength in her physical body and was rejuvenated and conceived at 90 years old. And maybe there are those of you here this morning that need a touch in your physical body. I don't think that you should at all be hesitant to seek God for a miracle, to seek God for the best. Does he heal as much as I would like to see him heal? No. I wish you to heal this flu I got days ago. We have people coming after the services with cancer and with problems and with infertility, and I wish he would touch and heal them all, and he doesn't. I trust him. But he does sometimes. But here's the great difference I see. Too many today are claiming something that God has not given to them specifically. Too many today are involved in this claiming things that God has not guaranteed. The difference with Sarah is God initiated. God is the one that told her that she would conceive. If God is telling you something today, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and telling you to hold on to something, telling you as an individual to believe him for something, we have the word of God. And I think this establishes our faith and our practice. And anything the Holy Spirit may say to your heart will never contradict this. But also, when we were looking for this building, it wasn't in here. Go down Busselton Avenue to the first light, make a right on Philmont. You know, we're looking for a building. It's not that specific in regards to those things. And yet there are times when God leads us and God speaks to our heart. And I pray in your lives and in your walk with Jesus Christ, there's enough of a reality where you sense him leading you and speaking to your heart. And if he gives you something, like he gave it to Sarah, don't ever be afraid to hold on to it your entire life and never let go of it. Don't let any man take it away from you. Don't let anybody take it, because there is a place for the miraculous work of God in our physical being. And he does heal. And she received strength. And how many of us simply feel as though we need to receive strength from the Lord? Also, she delivered, it says in Hebrews 11. So there was no abortion. There was no miscarriage. She didn't say, oh, here I am, you know, I'm 90 years old. Now I finally get my prayer answered. Now he does it. He waits till I'm 90. There's no OBGYN guys out here. And there's, you know, no, this, how am I going to handle this? No saddle block. No, you know. No, the amazing, she believed God all the way through the process. Not only had she conceived, but she at 91 brought forth and delivered this child. And if God has given you something and started a work in your life, if he has taken a barren area in whatever realm it may be and breathed life into it and brought life to it, God will also bring that to its completion. It's not up to you to get it there by worrying and getting ulcers. She believed God also for the delivery. She delivered this child also at 90 years old. But I think the key to it, as I look at it, is at the end of verse 11, it says, this happened because she judged him faithful who had promised. You see, her heart slowly became attached not to the promise, but to the promiser. Her heart was not attached to the things that she would obtain by faith, but to the one who had spoken to her heart and given her the promises. It says that she didn't look at her own body, but at him who had promised. Not at the promises, but at the promiser. And you see, what she realized was this. I believe that as Abraham pitched his tent and built his altars, that Sarah often worshipped at those altars with Abraham. And I believe that Sarah often also watched the blood of a lamb run down between those stones and watched the body char and fall into the fire as Abraham offered burnt offerings to the Lord. And I think what Sarah realized is that the one that she had worshipped at the altar was now speaking to her and saying, no, you did laugh. But in a year from now, the promise will be fulfilled in your life. And I think for all of us, what a necessary thing for us to realize that the one we worship at the altar on the cross is speaking to us today. The one that we gather around because he shed his blood for us is risen from the dead. And speaking to our hearts and leading us, using his word by his Holy Spirit. And as I look at Sarah enrolled in this list of believers in chapter 11, I know she's there because God wants us to look to him that way. My four children are the greatest theologians I've ever encountered. They have taught me more of God's nature and God's love and God's grace and God's forgiveness than any commentary or any professor. And the Bible says that he loves us more than we love our earthly children. And certainly, I desire them to commune with me and to dialogue with me and to believe the promises that I make to them. How much more God Almighty? When he speaks to us about the barrenness that we often experience in our life, or the emptiness or the loneliness, and we sense him promising us, drawing us, does he want us to trust him, not only for the beginning of life, but for all the way through to delivery, all the way through until we see the reality in front of us? Martin Luther said, if we're going to trust God that way, we have to crucify the word how. Because that's what we'll ask all along the way. How are you going to do this, God? How's this going to happen? Well, how's that going to happen? If I trust you, how do I know? How are you going to do it? And I pray there may be those of you here this morning that need that touch physically. Believe God. Will he heal you? I don't know. Can he? Yeah, he can. And he does. And we have enough testimony besides the scripture here in our own fellowship as evidence of that. Is it some barren place in your life that you have stepped in to be God's little helper and created your own Hagar and Ishmael, and now it's an embarrassment to you and you're trying to send it away? Some angel's probably going to send them back to you. Let it be a teacher. Let it be an instructor. Let it work to God's glory. Be wiser. Because of your failed carnal attempts to help God accomplish in your life the things that only He can do. And be more attached to the giver than the gift. You know, realize that the one that you worship at the cross is also the one that stepped out of the tomb, that He's still speaking today, that He desires not only for you to have a systematic theology and an intelligent study of the scripture, but He also desires for you to experience His presence in your life and His guiding and His touch. And Him giving you as an individual promises, I think, that are private. I think it's a lonely place. We can't expect everybody around us to understand those things, but I do believe as individuals He grants us those things for us to take hold of and keep hold of, that not only He will begin that life, but also bring it full term so that we see the demonstration of it in our lives. Let's stand and pray.